Okay, Lord, bless the word this morning. One of the great challenges we face in our walk with the Lord is this area of understanding. Words may mean one thing to us, and God may define them differently. And we really need to be in a place to be taught by the Holy Spirit. Remember the verse I brought out last week in 1 John, you have this anointing in you, teach you of all things. More than just the analysis of our own human reasoning, we need to depend on the spirit of revelation to learn how God sees things, how he defines things. I'm going to relate a story to you. A pastor, toward the end of the service, asked people who needed healing to come forward, and so everybody came down. He comes to this one man, and he asked, well, what do you need? And the man said, I need prayer for my hearing. So the pastor takes his fingers and puts it in the man's ears and makes a prayer. And then he looks at him and he says, how's your hearing now? And the man said, I don't know. It's not till next week. Do we have a spirit of understanding to get that? Okay, we do. Not a great joke, but the word hearing has two meanings, right? A lot of things are like that. The scripture and the word that talks about the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. That means something to us. It meant something to the disciples when Jesus spoke to them. And you remember when they took Jesus, when the chief priests had sent officers to take him right before the cross. And every gospel gives an account of this, and it's good to read all four accounts, because some give details that others don't. But it said that when they came to take him, the question was asked, because they had swords. Do we use our swords now? They had heard what Jesus had said about the kingdom of God suffering violence, and the violent take it by force. And here's these guys coming to take their Lord, who was the kingdom of God in the earth. So I would think they were reasoning, if there's ever a good time to use our swords, it'd be now. And in that account, remember it says someone took his sword and cut off the ear of one of the servants. In the book of John, it tells who that someone was. The other gospels don't give the name, but it was Peter. And Luke, it says the Lord took and healed the servant's ear, and he said, no, this is not how it's done. And the Lord talked about the cup he was about to drink. Now to them, the kingdom of God suffering violence and the violent taking it by force means they should use their swords to defend Jesus. Yet it meant something totally different to Jesus. He wasn't talking about a violence against other people. He was talking about an intensity in his heart to do the will of God. And that's why he talked about the cup, to drink the cup, to go to the cross. So it meant one thing to them, but God defined it differently. Boldness is being released in the body of Christ right now. And I said this as a background because when I say the word boldness, we define it a certain way. And I don't think any of us yet understand what it means to God is how he looks at boldness. When I say be bold, let's say we're going to have a time of prayer. And I said, okay, God wants us to be bold. I can almost guarantee you everybody would pray a little bit louder, try to be a little more forceful. Boldness in the spirit is not a personality trait. It's not about the volume of your voice. It's not about the force of your will. It's an attribute of the Holy Spirit. Boldness, according to God's definition, is not arrogance. It's a quality that will not compromise with the truth. If you look in the dictionary, in the definition of boldness, one of the words is fearless, confidence. But from God's perspective, the fearless state, it's like he comes to free us of our fears, right? Be without fear, fearless. And when the love of God is able to work in us and dislodge those fears, what comes in the place of fears? Boldness. Boldness is confidence, but according to God's definition, it's not confidence in our flesh. It's not you trying to build yourself up, oh, I can do it. It's confidence in the Lord, in his grace and his abilities. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. couple of examples in boldness. There's many in the scriptures. I think of David when he challenged Goliath. Remember David's heart, his attitude, what did he say? How dare this uncircumcised Philistine taunt the armies of the living God? Was David being arrogant? Was David somehow just trying to muster up some courage in himself? No, in his relationship with God, there was a spiritual boldness. That when someone was coming against the Almighty God, David said, this is ridiculous. There's no compromise here. He was fearless because of his awareness of God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew children that were cast in the fiery furnace because they wouldn't bow down and worship Nebuchadnezzar, the golden image. Again, you have a boldness. They said, we're not going to worship any idol. Whether we die or not, we're only going to worship God. Again, was this some natural courage that they mustered up? No, there was something in their heart. They were confident in the Lord. They were unwilling to compromise their devotion to God and his truth. It was a spiritual quality born out of their relationship to God. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, just some things about spiritual boldness. And it's interesting in the word, whenever we talk about being filled with the Spirit, people, what do you think of? Speaking in tongues, prophecy. And it's in the word. It says they were filled with the Spirit, they spoke in other tongues, and they prophesied. But there's a number of occasions where it talks about they were filled with the Spirit, and what happened? Boldness came upon them to speak the word of God. It's an attribute and sign of the Holy Spirit moving. We need that now. We need to believe for that to manifest. Verse 13, now as they observe the confidence or boldness of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were marveling and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. When it's a true spiritual boldness, they recognize the presence of the Lord in us. When it's a human boldness, it tends to exalt the flesh, doesn't it? People will recognize you. But when it's spiritual boldness, they see the heart of the Father. They see the Lord. In Acts 14, verse 3, don't lose that place. We're going to come back to it. It says, therefore, they spent a long time there speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. They were speaking boldly with reliance on the Lord. True spiritual boldness is totally dependent on God. Again, where's the strength? It's in him. That's Acts 14:3. Back to Acts chapter 4, verse 31. When they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Boldness is related to what? Not speaking our own desires. It's not about our agenda. And this is where we've got to understand how it's different than the bold, being bold in the natural. People that are bold in the natural, more forceful, more assertive, it's all about what they want. And if you want to get more out of life and more from other people, that quality can work for you. It's often not an admirable quality, but people that get ahead, there's that assertive thing, that domineering thing. They take control. The boldness in the Spirit has nothing to do with your ego. It's all about God's will and purposes. They were filled with the Spirit, and God made them bold for one purpose, that his word, his heart, his will could be declared. If we want to be bold in the Spirit, then there's got to be that decision we make in our heart that the reason for boldness is that his will can be done through our life. We want to be bold so that we can declare his word without compromise. And that's what was happening in the book of Acts. In Hebrews 4:16, and we're not going to turn there, it talks about, remember, we enter the throne of grace with what? Boldness. And I just want to mention this very quickly. To find help in a time of need, it says. The boldness to enter the throne of grace, it means we stop this style of begging. When we're fear-based, God is always somewhere else, and so a lot of our prayer is based on trying to get him to do what we want him to do, and we're begging, and, oh, Lord, I've just got to jump through the right hoops here, and maybe you'll answer me. When that fear is dislodged and there's boldness, we understand we have access into his throne, and we understand his throne is right within our lives. There's no longer that thing of asking and crying out in a way of it's actually an expression of unbelief and fear. Boldness is in knowing that what God has spoken is true, and you're not held back by the accusations of the enemy. Whenever we're under a cloud of self-condemnation or guilt or accusation, all of that is fear-based. And it tethers us. It just ties us to this natural plane. And even though we cry out to God, we're not aware of God. He's somewhere else to us. In the spirit of boldness, there's always an awareness that his presence is with us and in us. And we're not under a cloud of accusation. In his presence is fullness of joy. There's that coming to the Lord and saying, yes, I have need, but it's a positive thing. You've made perfect provision for whatever need I have. A very important point that I want to finish with this morning has to do with our obedience. Boldness is about speaking the word of God. It's about our lives centering around his plan and his will. But the boldness of spirit empowers you to do and obey what you hear from the Lord. Now, do we need boldness to hear the word of God? Not really. You have an open heart. You want to hear the truth. God can speak to you. But in order for you to carry out what you hear, that's where the Holy Spirit has to make you bold. The book of James, it says, talks about the man that looks at himself in the mirror, and as soon as he walks away, forgets what he's seen. I think that too often describes how believers are with the word they hear. When they're in church, listening to the word, they hear it. Wonderful thing. They're looking in the mirror, they see the Lord, then they walk away to their normal life, and they forget it. It's not internalized. It's not something they carry with them. We live in an age where I think a lot of people are hearing the right things, but hearing alone doesn't cut it. Jesus said that. Happy is he that hears and does what the word says. We can't do that on our own strength. The boldness that the Holy Spirit wants to bring to your life is that equipping, that empowering, where when you hear something, you're not content just to say, oh, that's a wonderful teaching. I'll lock that away somewhere with all the rest of them. Your heart is troubled, and you say, I got to walk in that. That's got to happen for me. That's the boldness of the Spirit. 1 Kings chapter 13, you can read this later. I'm sure you don't want me to read the whole chapter to you now. Jeroboam was king of Israel. He was a wicked king. He set up all this idolatry. God sent a prophet to him. And the prophet of God came and said, this is what's going to happen. This false altar is going to be rent. And God was speaking judgment against the idolatry. Jeroboam told to turn to the prophet, and he said, told his men, seize him. And as soon as he put his hand out, his hand withered. And the altar was rent. The ashes were poured out just as God had spoken. The king then turned to the prophet. I don't believe he has a name. And he said, please restore my hand. And the prophet prayed for him and his hand was restored. Okay, now this prophet carried out what God told him to do. Then the king told the prophet, come into my house, I'll give you a reward. And the prophet said, no, God told me not to eat or drink in this place, but to go back another way. And so he left. So this prophet is walking along. Yeah, I'm not making this up. This is 1 Kings 13. You're looking at me like, huh? The prophet is walking along, and another prophet hears about what God did. And he goes to this prophet and he says, come, you got to come to my house and eat and drink with me. And the prophet, the first prophet, getting confusing here, said, no, God instructed me not to stop and eat and drink, but to go back. And this other prophet said, yeah, but an angel told me you're to come and sup with me. And this prophet was lying. So the prophet that had the original word that did what God told him to do as far as going to the king compromised and went in with this other prophet. He ate, he drank. Then when he left, it says a lion came and killed him. Kind of a harsh ending there. What was happening here? He carried out the assignment God had given him, but he didn't do it God's way. What causes us to compromise the word to our heart, the vision that God puts in our life? Even if we're doing what God wants us to do, are we doing it according to the ways of the Lord? Or do we let other influences come in and cause us to compromise what God has spoken to us? I'm not saying a lion's going to prey on us if we don't do it right. And this is the Old Testament here. But what it pointed out to me is how we need the boldness of the Holy Spirit, not just to speak the word that God gives us to speak, but to walk in the ways of the Lord and to do it the way he wants it done. Paul was like that. He told King Agrippa in Acts, I think, 19, verse 6, Acts 26, verse 19, he said, I have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. Paul did not compromise what God spoke to his heart. Why is that? It's because Paul's so intense, Pharisee of Pharisees. He had a lot of self-will. No, had nothing to do with Paul in the natural. It had everything to do with the fact that Paul had a boldness in his spirit, and that strength would not allow him to compromise what God spoke to his heart. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 20, I believe. I'd like to read some verses to you here. This is Paul's farewell to Ephesus, and just get a feel for the boldness that he had in his spirit. There wasn't the fear of man. Think about things. What causes you to compromise what God speaks and reveals to you? It's not just evil or things out there. Just like that prophet that was persuaded by another prophet to do it a different way. Often it's people we respect. It can be in church. Things can come in and we feel the fear of man. We fear disapproval of other people. We lack confidence in what God has shown us, whatever, and we're pulled away from the heavenly vision in our heart. Boldness is the answer to that. Now, Paul is speaking in verse 19. He's talking about how he said, serving the Lord with all humility, with tears, with trials, which came upon me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, bound in spirit, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I was sent preaching the kingdom, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock which made, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. From among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Let's stop there. You get the heart of Paul here? He was bold to do the whole thing that God had told him, and to do it the way God wanted, because the way of the Lord was that Paul was to give up his life. Now, if you read on in the chapter that follows, you have spiritual men coming to Paul and saying, we saw by the Spirit, you can't go to Jerusalem. Here's what they're going to do to you. Another place it says a prophet came and told him how he would be bound. Now, these are spiritual men telling Paul what's going to happen, and they saw it in the Spirit. And Paul's not saying, no, you're false, you're wrong. He's saying, yep, that's going to happen. But that's what's meant to happen. And in the end, when they couldn't persuade Paul from going forward, it says, the will of the Lord be done. Now, do you get what's happening here? This boldness is not only about Paul doing what God told him, speaking the word, the gospel, the true gospel. But the way that God wanted it done was that Paul was to be bound and in chains and give up his life. And these other prophets and people that love Paul said, well, this doesn't make sense. We can't lose this man. And so they're telling him what's going to happen, and they're speaking the truth to him. But the boldness that he had in his heart would not allow him to compromise the heavenly vision that was driving him on. And he looked at him and he said, yes, what you're telling me is right, but that's the way I've got to go. That's what Jesus wants from me. Now, when he's speaking his heart, he says, beware, because wolves are going to come in. Remember that verse? We're in an hour where God wants to fill his people with the Spirit and make them bold to declare the true gospel, what God's speaking. At the same time, you have wolves out there speaking other gospels. And they're not seeking the will of God. They're seeking their own glory. They're seeking to make disciples for themselves. They're seeking to make money or get power or whatever. All of this taking place. And the boldness that God wants in his people is that we will stay true to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You turn on your TV, you're going to get a lot of gospels. And I don't know how many of you do that. I hear a lot of things. I'm saddened. I'm grieved at what is being spoken in the name of the Lord. Yes, from the same Bible, but it's a different message. It's not about God. It's not about his kingdom. It's about the kingdoms of men. It's about human ego. Yet Paul said there's going to be wolves doing these things. But you be true to the heavenly vision. You be bold to do what God has told you to do and the way he's called you to do it. One thing that comes up when we talk about this is you think, well, what if I'm being bold? What if I'm wrong? I don't know if you have these thoughts. I thought about, what if I'm just being stubborn? What if I'm being obstinate? I'm just holding on to something and people are trying to break through and tell me things and I'm not open to it because I just have this certain mindset. I want to tell you something. None of us want to be an independent spirit where we're not open to the word coming through the body. And I know there's a fear of what if I'm wrong? When it's truly a boldness of the Spirit that's causing you to stand up and not compromise the word, because it's of the Spirit, you can instantly become humble if the word of the Spirit comes to convict you. This is not about human stubbornness. It's not about you holding on to a thought and saying, nobody's going to make me think any differently. It's about you being true to the revelation that God's put in your heart. And you can be bold in the Spirit, and a word of correction can come through a member of the body, and the same Spirit that makes you bold will convict you, and you'll drop on your knees and say, yes, Lord, because we all have blind sides. We all need input from one another. What I've seen in the past is what happens in church is you get someone that is independent, doesn't want to listen to anybody. You say, okay, what about that person? Well, they're in the flesh. It's not a boldness of spirit they have. It's just something of their flesh, their self-will. So we say, okay, we got to put them under discipline. Got to beat that out of them. I've seen this happen so much. You put them under discipline of others. Nothing changes. Instead of them doing what they want to do, now they're doing what somebody else wants them to do. It's still in the flesh either way. The only answer for any of us is we've got to come into the Spirit. It's got to be born of the Holy Spirit. You worry about your own stubbornness? We all should. But as we approach the Lord, we've got to say, Lord, I don't want to stubbornly hold on to something that you're trying to dislodge from me. I want to know what it is to not compromise what you speak in any way. I want to know what it is to live in such a way that you can lead me in the way that you want me to go, not just what I do, my assignment, but the way you want that assignment accomplished. I don't let human ideas come in, my own or others, the fear of man, what other people want, to influence or dissuade me from the way you've sent me. It's boldness of spirit that keeps us on track, following the Lamb wherever he goes. Amen. Let's stand.